Barbarian Tribes of Rome, the Arthurian period. Now, the last time we were here, we dealt with the Romans leaving. And then I mentioned that the Anglo-Saxons were coming in, and the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes. But there is kind of a gap. So, for example, this period of about 518 to 539 is a period that gets somewhat historically listed as a period of conflict between some group in Britain and the Anglo-Saxons. Because in the year 72, which is 518 AD, you have the Battle of Badon Hill. And according to the Annals of Wales, which is one of the oldest accounts, which is supposedly from that period, the Battle of Badon Hill is where Arthur and his men, after 3 days of prayer, defeated the Anglo-Saxons. Gives credence to the point that the Anglo-Saxons had made a treaty after what is called the Battle of Badon Hill, where they will, you know, they'll accept money and a parcel of land and leave the other part of Britain alone. So that comes into play. In the year 93 in the Annals of Wales is AD 539, and it references a Battle of Canlum in which Arthur or Arthurius and Medred or Modred are killed, and then there's a plague upon Britain and Ireland. So there's an interesting little segment in here. Now, of course, from our standpoint, you know, most of us have familiarity with the Arthurian legends comes from either literature or movies. You know, you have a variety of films that come out. Excalibur is one that comes into position in the play. And you also have what is known as Sword of Lancelot, which was in the 60s. And that was a film I saw when I was, you know, a kid and really liked it. It's an interesting movie. It's just some of the props are terrible when you have helmets that are basically buckets that they've cut slits in. But the acting is really good. And, of course, there's also The First Knight with Sean Connery and Richard Gere. And then, of course, you can't talk about the Arthurians without dealing with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But that's a different subject. There have been comic books on it. I had a classic illustrated comic book on the Knights of the Round Table. There was a series done by DC called Camelot 3000, where Arthur comes back to help people fight aliens. But our literature is very interesting because you have Arthurian literature falling into three categories. There's historical basis, which I'm going to spend most of the time on. Medieval romance, where you get the heroic adventures, nobility, chivalry, magic, loyalty to the king thing. And this stuff is used frequently with the minstrels and scattered all over. And then you have modern versions. If you're looking at the sources, the oldest is the Annals of Wales. And that is like 518 AD, that in that range. And then you have the History of Britain, 944 AD, the Life of Sir Cranach. And then you have the History of the Kings of Britain by Geoffrey of Monmouth. And that is 1136. And he talks about all sorts of things. And one of the things that you find is if you read the History of the Kings of Britain, there's no Lancelot associated. Lancelot's an add-on after the Normans come in to England. They have to get a good guy in there too. And then most of what we would read in modern times, you would start with Le Morte d'Arthur, Sir Thomas Malory. And that is 1460 Common Era. You know, so that talks about the end of the Knights of the Round Table. And then more modern works, The Idols of the King by Tennyson, Once and Future King by White, The Acts of Arthur and His Knights by Steinbeck, and The Last Enchantment by Mary Stuart. So you have a lot of literature. Now, when we talk about the Arthurian legends, they actually go into a cycle. You have the Quest for the Holy Grail and all sorts of others, but it's called the Vulgate Cycle. There's three books you're supposed to read. Lancelot, which is 1,000 pages long, by Chrétien de Troyes. The Quest for the Holy Grail and The Death of Arthur. Now, the Arthurian legend, if we're looking at historical works that have been done, Geoffrey Monmouth's History of the Kings of Britain, Arthur's Britain by Leslie Alcock, who's one of the modern experts on the Arthurian period, The Discovery of King Arthur by Geoffrey Ashe, King Arthur, Hero and Legend by Richard Barber, and then there's a wonderful illustrated anthology on the Arthurian legends. So, it's a little background, but what kind of historical material do we have? Well, when we get to the period where the Romans have left, of course, the Vikings are in the northern part of Scotland. Scotland and the Orkneys are in parts of Ireland. The Isle of Man, there's a little bit in the area on the very southern tip of Wales. And then the area that's up north across from the Isle of Man. The Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes. Well, the Jutes come into what is now Kent. You have a mix between Danish settlements and the Kent and the Jutes in Essex. And then you have the other groups that come in, the Saxons will come in the Wessex and Sussex, and then the Angles will be in Mercia and in Northumbria. And of course, you have a section there that's also under the control of the Vikings. But when the Romans withdrew from Britain, and you have to understand that what takes place is not all the Romans left. A lot of Roman legionnaires actually retired to Britain. They loved that area. They had intermarried. So when they withdrew, there were still people there, still Christians. The church was still very strong. But Britain splits into two political parties. There's a group called the Celtic Nationalists, and they wanted to go their own way. Go back kind of to the old system. And then there's an imperialist party, and they wanted to continue with ties to Roman law and Roman traditions. Britain breaks into then two regional kingdoms to protect Britain from the Germanic tribes. They invite the Germanic tribes to come in. They invite the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes to come in. And when we talked last time, they started out as, you know, a few people, and then a little town or village, and then in larger groups. And for a while, they were willing to protect Britain, and then they decided, why are we protecting these people? We need to take over the place for ourselves. And ultimately, then, that leads to conflict between the indigenous population, the Celts, and the Anglo-Saxons. The two most powerful Celtic kingdoms at this time period, in the 500s, early 500s, late 400s, the Kingdom of Powys, spelled P-O-W-Y-S, and the Kingdom of Gwynedd, which is Welsh. And I'm going to have to apologize for my lack of Welsh speaking. But the Kingdom of Powys united the Celts against the Anglo-Saxons, and their great king was King Odwan Datquin. The Celts have a battle name for their leaders, and Odwan's battle name was the Bear. The Bear in Latin is Urus. The Bear in Celtic is Art. So the Bear is Arcturus. And then the Powys king had actually a ceremonial sword. It was originally made for King Ambrosius, who was the king before Dagwin. And it's referred to as Caliburn, C-A-L-I-B-U-R-N. So you have this conflict between the locals and, of course, the Anglo-Saxons. And then, of course, if you're looking at the family tree of Arthur, there's two versions. The Morte d'Arthur by Malory. You have Uther and Igraine, and they have, well, they have Arthur, okay? And then he will marry Guinevere, and then Arthur will have intercourse with Morganza, Morgan le Fay, and produces Mordred. The other side of the family are the Dukes of Tintagel, which produce Morganza, Morgan, and Elaine. And Morganza, or Morgan le Fay, marries a guy named Lot and has Gawain and his brothers. Morgan marries Urien and produces Owain. And Ellen doesn't do anything. Now, if you go to the legend, the family tree of Arthur, according to Geoffrey of Monmouth, just like all the various barbarian tribes try to get a Roman leader, well, we have Constantine here. Constantine has two sons, Ambrosius and Uther. And of course, then Uther is married, has sex with Igraine and produces Arthur, and then later marries her and Anna. And of course, her original husband was Gorlois. And then what you have is all these sites all over Britain that are associated with some of the stories. And there's always been a discussion about how in the world Arthur or these groups travel around like this. There's an interesting thing, and that is, you know, we've been doing the barbarian tribes, and when you see the barbarian tribes as leaders, whether it's Clovis or the others from various tribes, the leader has personal bodyguard. There is men that are around him. Charlemagne, bodyguard, known as the paladins. And sometimes there's 12, and sometimes there's more. And one of the things that happens with the Celts in Britain, and particularly the Welsh of Powys, is when you gave your allegiance to your leader, that allegiance was for your lifetime, not necessarily your leader's. If he dies, if your leader dies, what happens is everything that you do is then credited to your leader that you supported. So a lot of events occurring this after Arthur's so-called time period could be some of these men doing their own little bits of duty there. And there, you know, people have gone crazy, as it were, as all this material located. It's like looking for Atlantis. But they've got sites associated with Baden Hill is supposed to have taken place as what's known as the Bradbury Ring. Camelot is supposedly the Cadbury Fort. That's a hill fort. And then, of course, you've got Tintagel and you have other things here. So that's just a little bit of what's going on with that. But there's something going on in Britain. It's just such a confused period that it's hard to come up with that information. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. Leave a comment, check out our CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.